Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Who are the men that pick for scraps amongst the ruins at the end of history? You should know, because you encounter them every day. Between the towering buildings of a fallen empire, we find the Fellaheen, the historyless men, who know nothing of the turning of the cosmic wheel and find themselves outside of civilization itself. Cut loose from the great chain of being, they represent the loam into which our dying culture will return. That is, unless we choose to take up the burden once again. This Fellaheen condition is the subject we explore in issue 4 of Islander Magazine. On sale, while stocks last and available worldwide, at shop.lodeseaters.com.
Oh, hello there. And welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, episode 1230. I was just perusing this copy of Islander 4, which if you've not got yet, well, there are still available, so you should get one or you're gay. Anyway, today we are joined by Carl.
Hello.
Me, Harry, and Nate. Thank you for coming on again, Nate.
Nice to be here.
And we're going to be talking about the Quiet Revolution, how cultures and therefore peoples are what makes economies and not lines going up on graphs, and I am going to go a little bit off topic and talk about YouTube fitness and online fitness culture in general being cancer and probably a psyop. I'll be interested to get your takes on that recently. Have you seen the Jeff Nippard controversy?
Yeah, I've seen a bit of it, yeah.
Yeah, well, we can go through that. And you've started going to the gym recently, so it'll be interesting to get your take as well. Anyway, with that all that said, is there anything else we need to announce before we go further?
No, I think we're good.
All right, let's get into it, chaps.
So there's something of a quiet revolution happening in Britain at the moment, and it's that kind of very British, particularly English, I've had enough of this, and I've decided it's just non-compliance from here on out. I've decided that the authorities have lost all respect, and I've decided that I'm not going to properly engage with them. And in fact, I'm going to do everything I can in those very small but tangible ways to undermine the system itself. And this is happening all over the country, as far as I can tell, because it seems that something of a critical consciousness is arising in the English, where they realise, oh, right, so this is how it's going to be forever, and there's no end in sight. Well, I have to do something. Right? And it begins in really small things, but it ends with people having quite radical statements, which, of course, we don't endorse. But anyway, before we begin, go and get Islander 4. It is amazing, of course, and while stocks last. But so there are lots of small things like this. Like, everyone is well aware that we have a two-tier system. And if, Nate, if you as a white Englishman were to go and rob a shop, the cops would be on you before you got out of the door, right? However, we also know that if you're an urban youth, then you can just film yourself on TikTok every single day walking into a Greggs or walking into wherever and just stealing, and no one cares. And everyone's just like, well, that's just part and parcel of living in a modern, diverse society.
I think they call it pulling a Mizzy.
Well, I think it's worse than that, actually. Mizzy was, like, obnoxious and walking into people's homes, but, like, this is proper theft, right? So I actually think that Mizzy is kind of mild compared to what we're seeing here.
How far we've come.
We'll get back to Mizzy in a second.
This is progress, folks. Crimes up, line up, yes.
Progress. It was, well, we found out today there was 0.3% GDP growth.
Oh, yay.
0.3. I mean,
it's all worth it.
But it's
it's all worth it, guys.
It really does make you wonder that if we could just have the shackles taken off of us for a second, we could have a rich country.
I know.
Like we used to have. Like, even with all of these weights on us, dragging us back, we're still like, okay, no, I'm still going to win.
0.3%.
The entrepreneurial spirit is huge in the UK.
I know.
It really is massive. Always has been. And yet...
Here we are.
We're just lumbered with detritus.
Well, we're lumbered with this. I mean, if you were thinking about opening a shop, well, as Labour have told you, don't put the expensive items at the front of your shop because...
Don't advertise the good stuff.
Yeah, but, yeah, exactly. No, it's literally it. Don't put it in the store window because a pack of Urban Youths will probably come around and nick it, right? And that's not good for, you know, businesses. But anyway, so you've got that on one side. Being the general theme of the authorities is it's out of our hands, not a lot we can do about it. You need to basically take precautions. And then on the other side, you've got this. So I'm just going to summarize this. This is worthy of an entire segment all on its own, but I'm going to summarize this, right? Because this is real, and it's genuinely the sort of thing that, like, Cunley Druckpa is best positioned to satirize. So there was a video that came out the other day that I honestly thought was a sort of brass eye satire.
I thought it was a joke.
I didn't realise it was real.
I went searching for it and I couldn't find it again, so I genuinely thought, oh, it's just fake.
No, apparently it's genuinely real. So, yeah. As you can see, British cops wore jogging outfits to elicit catcalls and then arrested some men who hit on them. In the video, they pointed out the men hadn't actually done anything illegal.
They're not broken any law.
No.
But we need to address it.
Yeah, it needed to be addressed. And so, obviously, you've just got the meme. It's like, shy guy struggles with women, sees cute girls jogging by my house every day, finally work up the confidence to speak to them. Hey, love your dedication, looking fit. They stop and talk to the radio, all units. Sirens blare as police cars suddenly pull up around me, get arrested. That's not even a misrepresentation of what has happened here.
Yeah. Right?
That's actually... So this is doing... Police doing stupid 2015 feminism. So, oh no, I'm being catcalled. I think we're a bit further on.
You know, as... Even as they were calling it in, they loved...
Of course they did.
They loved that someone was hitting on them.
You get validation, and you get to exercise illegal or inappropriate authority.
So what these police women have done is pull a gym... TikTok catfish.
Yes.
Right there.
On the public.
They're
not even in the gym.
You know how the gym thots would wear the really tight shorts to show off their
arses? She's literally doing it there.
Film themselves, and then if they caught any man in the background just taking a quick look, that was it. Your life was over. That's this. Except it's the British police doing it to shy young men. Not even gym bros.
Yeah, it's so comical. It's hard to believe. But the thing is, it gets worse.
Oh yeah, I saw this as well.
Have you ever had a £300 fine and points on your non-existent driver's license for riding your skateboard?
And further to that, we're going to impound it.
Yep.
Until you can.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, we'll watch the video.
Okay.
The guy explains it because it's just
believe it.
It's just ridiculous.
I couldn't believe it.
£100 fine for no insurance. And the 6 penalty points on a UK driving licence that you don't have. And that would obviously, like, if you applied for a UK driving licence, you would start with 6 points on that driving licence. Okay? So, that's that part out of the way.
So if I apply for a UK driving licence, this is going to affect... I'm going to have points even before getting the...
If you apply for it in the next 3 to 4 years, they will still give you a licence.
Yeah.
6 in the first 2 years is an automatic ban.
For a skateboard officer, I can't believe it. Really sorry if I did something wrong. Like, I didn't know that where my skateboard was.
Can you just solve that question?
We'll do all this.
I'll get you on to the next bit, and then we can get you on your way and get you to a meeting. Okay, so as we've told you, your vehicle's being seized today because it's on the road. It's being used without insurance, it's going to be seized. Okay? We'll go at the car pound. The only way you can get the car pound, out of the car pound, is if you turn up with a valid policy of motor insurance which allows the vehicle to be used on a road. Okay? Other than that, you cannot pick up the vehicle. The problem you're going to find is the motor insurance company can't provide you with insurance to carry out, to use something on a road that's illegal. These are illegal to be used on a road, so therefore no insurance company is going to cover you.
So I'm just going to lose my board?
In effect, yes. But I can't actually say you're losing your board because you may miraculously be able to find a company that insures you.
Miraculously? Miraculously find a company that insures you?
All I'm saying is...
We're just stealing your skateboard, bro. Deal with it.
British entrepreneurial spirit. I'm seeing a gap in the market here.
Yeah.
So is this one of those electric skateboards? Is this literally because it's probably got like a small electric motor on it?
Yeah.
Therefore, probably. There's some really like fine print law that says, oh, that's illegal on the road then.
Yeah, and he made the mistake of going on the road with these fine gentlemen police
without
officers.
A license.
Without a license, yeah, literally. And then you've got other videos like this. Now, I can't attest to the authenticity of this video. You know, who knows whether this caption's correct, but the optics of it are just really bad.
No, you went around. Get off! Get off! Oh, fuck you! Get off!
Right, so a pack of mizzies running into a shop, stealing stuff, we can't do anything about that. But a schoolgirl with a McDonald's, I mean, what could she have possibly actually have done, right, to warrant three cops dragging her off? Right, who knows, right? Looks really bad. And then, again, concurrent to all of this happening, you've got the Welsh choir boys. Now, this is, again, another story that deserves an entire video of its own. But, I mean, look at that expression, right? So this Welsh choir boy decided to just break in someone's house. The police were called. And the police were like, you know, we can't arrest him because he's trespassing. And trespassing isn't an arrestable offence. And people were like, but he just broke into my house.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, isn't that burglary? It's like, well, we've got to prove intent with burglary. It's like, okay, can't he be suspected burglary? In fact, there's this...
Can't just trespassing in the first place earn an automatic removal from where you're trespassing?
Well, I mean, he was let go.
Oh, fantastic.
they let him go. So, I mean, good thing that he's still wandering the streets. He looks like a well-adjusted young man.
Because the thing...
A neurosurgeon.
I was talking with people earlier today, and they were telling me that the reason that they were trying to excuse it was because apparently the person's front door was open when he walked in.
Oh, well, that's okay then.
So that's fine. So if I'm walking out of my house, because, you know, there are circumstances, shockingly, where you have to open your front door. if somebody just decides, as I'm walking out of my house, to walk in,
yeah.
So is that an open invitation, according to the police? Well, I mean, you had your door open. What can we do about it? And then, of course, if I did something about it, if I give the guy three warnings, leave my house, second warning, third warning, physically remove it, I'd probably get in trouble.
Yeah.
100%.
I'd be the one who gets in trouble for physically removing him from my house.
Well, what's interesting is that other people were arrested in this event, just not him. The people who lived in the property, they were arrested because they caused trouble, apparently. And, I mean, you've got, you know, videos of them just being like, this surely cannot be real. And they're like, well, it's just trespassing. It's not an arrestable offence. But this guy who's filming, I won't play it just for... No, we will play it, actually, because it's just remarkable.
This man in this vehicle has just entered a lady's property without her consent. And these officers have said it's not an offence. They're letting him go. Officer, how is that not an offence? How is it not an offence entering someone's house?
That poor lady.
Anyway. Regardless, she didn't want him in the house.
Is alarm fear and distress?
Lady, bro.
Is alarm fear and distress? Is she not alarmed? Even in fear?
You're letting him go.
He does it again.
Regardless, he's done it once. He don't need to do it again. He doesn't need to do it again. You know you're going to cause a war on the streets. You know you're causing a war on the streets, right?
I'm not going to dig nothing. I can walk in their ass and say, look,
you're causing a war on the streets. How are you letting him go?
What's your name? I'm going to walk in someone's house and not say nothing. And I'll get all their collar numbers.
You have said that it isn't an offence entering a property. Can I have your name and number, please?
Yeah, go for it.
Do you think it's not an offence entering a property? Regardless, if I entered your house with your wife and kids in there, are you going to be angry and want to get me arrested?
Be angry, but you have to prove intent for it to be burglary.
I had done the same thing when I was 16.
Honestly.
No, I mean, he's got a good point. I don't think this guy's intent was burglary.
Yeah.
I think this guy's intent was way worse than burglary.
Statistical likelihood.
But look at the expression. Like, I think this guy's intent was the intent of a Welsh choir boy, frankly.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, the cops are just like, well, I'm not even going to try and make a case that he might have been in there for nefarious reasons. He's clearly just an innocent lad who's looking for wherever it is we build rockets in this country, and he's just walked into the wrong domicile.
He's probably
an architect in training.
Precisely. He was just sizing the place up because he's like, I'm going to build something like this.
Yep.
But that's the point, right? And look at the fury in the people on the streets. Right, you are going to cause a war on the streets if you keep going like this. And the cops, look, the other cop who just couldn't keep his eye straight on the guy, you know, who's just looking all around, people furious, absolutely furious, and rightly so. I mean, I'm honestly,
the thing is, like, so the police as an institution only works in this country because we allow them to.
Yes.
That's the and
I mean, the whole point of British policing was Peel's
by consent.
Peel's nine principles of policing to ensure that the public cooperated with the police, to mean that the police didn't have to carry guns.
It's going.
Oh, it's gone.
They are.
Well,
just completely.
We'll get into the lack of consent by which people are being policed by very shortly.
Yeah.
But the point being, you can feel the heightened tension, right? People can see where the face of the state is pointed, and it's not towards them, it's towards the Welsh choir boy, because he somehow is the victim here. And honestly, it's just like, right, okay, that's everyone can see. And so now, when you've got, like, agents of the state who are coming to people's houses because they need their help, well, you get reactions like this.
Good morning, guys.
My name's John Harris. I'm the enforcement agent of Woodford Moons PLC. I'm here on behalf of London Borough. The boys want just to make you aware of everybody.
Yeah, I know you're a little traitor, moron wanker. Short moron government bitch.
Your protection of mining can be used in evidence.
Yeah. The courts are going down. You're going down. And you're going on YouTube, Facebook, Telegram. You're going to be made famous as a little traitor midget Gestapo cunt that you are.
Have a lesson, madam.
Yeah. Have it up your ass, cunt. You're going to prison soon. And you're going to be famous in about 2 minutes when I put this on Telegram. There's a group against. I'm going to take you all to court for harassing people through getting money through menaces. So I hope you won't sleep at night again, you cunt, because you won't be soon, because you're all going to prison, you little fat midget.
There are no greater insults than what the English can throw.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a very physical language.
I love it. I adore it. It's so good.
But it's also what's really great about English insults is they're really good at stripping someone's dignity.
Mm.
You know, he came, oh, I'm here from the London Borough or whatever.
Yeah, and like, no,
I'm not even going to repeat what she's saying. Exactly. You're a traitor, fat midget. Like,
I wish the audience could hear what we can hear in here, because that entire thing was just Samson howling, wetting himself behind the screen.
But you can see these are not rare occurrences these days. There are plenty of these going around.
You know, I've got a personal one that I know, a guy that I know, a friend of mine, was photographed at, I don't think it was a Tommy rally, but it was some kind of protest going on, completely peaceful.
Yep.
He's in a photograph holding up a flag. As a result of this, he's been suspended for months from his job. It might have to go to the Free Speech Union because not anything that's protected under law to be able to suspend and punish him for that.
Yep.
And he just the other day had a letter through the post from a prevent officer.
Oh, go to the Free Speech Union.
Yeah.
This is a legal case. Go there.
Yeah.
That's what they're for. That's why I pay my dues. Go and see the Free Speech Union if ever anything like this happens to you. But the thing is, you can see this has been happening for a while now. And again, these are just random, just estates all over England where people are like, you know, I'm done with you. Goddamn traitors.
These are the ones which we know about as well. It's going to be so much more, which is great.
Exactly. Exactly. These are just the ones that happen to hit my timeline. This is another great one.
Yeah, what's up?
Absolutely nothing, so don't panic. It's just a very quick one. I appreciate you're at work, but Warwickshire have asked me to come round and just basically, it's a load of bollocks, mate, but it's about this protest tomorrow in Warwickshire.
Yeah.
And just saying, obviously, that they're aware that you might be wanting to attend that planned protest, and obviously that's absolutely fine. You've got a freedom of speech, and that's no issues at all. And all they've asked me to do, mate, It sounds dumb, so I apologise, and it's really woeful. It's not something I agree with, but I've been asked to do it. It's just to drop a leaflet about being involved in a protest. It sounds bad, but it is what
it
is.
Do me a favour. Take it back to them and yes, write mate. Back on it to them, say, we will no longer be silenced, and to fuck himself. From me, with love. Cheers. Thanks very much.
With love.
Yeah, with love. Yeah.
Cheers, dude.
The silent majority of Britain will no longer stay silent. Tell them that. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You know, this one in particular is so egregious because, well, one, the guy's going to face disciplinary charges, suspension, termination, right? But
how did they know?
I mean, so that, the very fact that he faces those kind of the repercussions of these actions underlines the very intent behind it. It was all intimidation. It was intentionally intimidating. Yeah. And so him doing this in a way which actually should be applauded, because that's good communication. You know, he's getting his point across in a nice way, and it's not nasty. And, you know, that's what you want in a civilized society, people being able to communicate in this way. Hey, look, you know, I'm told to do this. I didn't necessarily agree with it, but here it is anyway. That should be perfectly reasonable. But obviously the intention from Warwickshire Council was intimidation.
The context is terrible.
Yeah. And so him saying, well, look, you know, I don't agree with it, but whatever.
But this,
like,
this,
that's bad.
And at least he was like, he was laughing that he was having to do it in the
first
place.
He's a good guy. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
But the fact that he faces those, I mean, those are the kind of people that you actually want, because the community won't completely go balls to the wall against you.
But this is Ferris's point, right? And this is a great point. Regimes collapse when the enforcers lose confidence that the regime will survive. That's what you're seeing in this video. Keep protesting. Keep non-compliance up.
Yeah.
Just be like, no, just F yourself. I don't care. I'm, you know, this is the sort of the low level non-compliant resistance that we're starting to see across the country now. And I'm seeing it everywhere. I mean, like, I took this photo the other day, just walking to the office in Swindon, just political stickers, beer gear, F off gear, on the charge with frauds. Now, okay, totally normie, whatever, you know, but the point is not whether I agree with it or not. The point is to show that there is an English political consciousness arising in just regular people, and they've fucking had it. They have just had it with all of this.
Well, one guy in my town flies a flag from his flagpole that says, we've had enough of two-tier care.
Yep. And this is the sort of thing you see everywhere. So you might have seen that yesterday the Birmingham Town Hall was lit up in the colours of Pakistan's flag to celebrate Pakistan's Independence Day. From who? From who? From who? Where are you doing it? You're doing it in England. You're still dependent on us. Anyway, the point being, this also then came about today. So people on this estate in Birmingham, locals, have had a patriotic outpouring, putting up flags of England and Britain down their street on lampposts and whatever. Right? Again, small scale, but local and widespread political revolt is what we're watching. The raising of a kind of political consciousness in the English particularly. It's not, you know, these are England flags that they are flying for a reason. And of course, the council's tensions are high as council workers begin taking down scores of St. George's crosses and Union flags attached to lampposts by residents. Birmingham City Council have confirmed the flags will be removed, saying the unauthorised items are dangerous and could potentially kill motorists and pedestrians. Like, okay, you clowns, no one thinks that. What this is you're not happy watching English patriotic expression. That's what it is. You'll happily fly Pakistani flags or Palestine flags or whatever. You're not happy with this. Everyone can see it.
While sponging unequivocally off of 100%. The English and British taxpayer.
100%.
To Birmingham, like the amount of people that are out of work there
that are
ethnically
right,
is mad.
Not even questionable.
Like, it's just insane.
The numbers are in.
Oh my God.
That's the point. They're still
so infuriating.
We're independent of you, but we do need your money, please. And no, you can't fly British flags. Like, no. We absolutely should be flying these flags.
Yeah.
Good for them. And I've seen this in multiple other places. And Callum made a great point. It's interesting that it's the England flag that is the symbol of resistance.
Yeah, I did like that.
Damn right it is.
Yeah. You know,
it's because that's the flag they genuinely hate.
Yeah, it is.
The British flag they can subvert, right? They can say, well, you know, we're British Pakistanis. Like, yeah, you're not English, though.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the point. It's the symbol of resistance. And I love to see it. And I love to see how widespread it is as well. It's everywhere. People are like, no, England flags. And then you've got this, right? This is a poll done by the Adam Smith Institute. Just show you just who is not happy and who is happy. I just think this is really, really fascinating. As you can see, right, think about the issues that matter most to you. How well do you feel politicians are currently addressing them? Well, the black community actually feels that everything's going quite well for them. The Mizzies of the world don't seem to have that many complaints.
My Gibbs are coming through on time, all's going well.
60%, like, yeah, fairly well or very well. Well, okay, let's look at the white British community. Not very well, not very well at all, 62%.
And considering they are the ones which fund all of this, again, the statistics are written. We know who funds all of these situations. You're going to have to keep them happy because something's going to give and something will snap at one point.
Yep.
That's what we're seeing now. It's the beginning cracks start to appear. But when we fund everything, you've got to keep us happy.
Well, at the end of the day, it's our country. It's our choice. It's our moral jurisdiction over this nation. And obviously people are like, yeah, no, I don't think that people are addressing my concerns at all, in fact.
Mm.
And so nearly two-thirds of people are like, yeah, not happy. Not happy with this at all. And compared to like ethnic minority communities, certain ones are very happy with this. But I find it interesting that the Asian community that is in the Muslim community is also not very happy either.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah, it's going to be about Palestine, I think.
It's just grievance politics. They're never happy. They're never, ever, ever going to be happy.
But then you've got the further escalation in responses to polls and to things. When they ask people, well, I mean, how far would you go? Apparently, one in
that
five.
Is really bad.
According to the New Statesman.
That's really bad.
That's about 9 million people.
That's awful.
For them.
Yeah, no, but I mean, how the fact that, and again, that's the people that are willing to say that they would do it. It's going to be higher than that. Always remember that. It's always higher. That's horrendous.
Apparently, one in five people polled would consider taking part in political violence themselves.
That actually surprises me. I'm not, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's shocking.
Yeah.
It's absolutely shocking.
I didn't realize. I'd seen the mood changing, but I didn't realize it had changed as far as that, as quickly as that.
It's, again, this isn't me saying this. This is from the New Statesman. In fact, look, we could finish just by watching this clip very quickly.
There is a deep sense of palpable anger across this country as voters have been ignored for decades. We lurch from crisis to crisis and Britain is stuck in decline. I've become more and more concerned about how this anger might express itself. So I've asked Scarlett from Merlin Strategy to look into just how close Britain is to widespread disorder.
Our research shows that 7 in 10 people in this country are worried about the potential for political violence. Not only that, but 1 in 5
very
say
exciting.
They would consider taking part in political violence themselves if the state of Britain declines. Alarmingly, 3 in 10 young people say they think that political violence is acceptable in some conditions. And again, 3 in 10 say that they would consider taking part in political violence themselves if the country gets worse.
So why are we filming a video?
So, I mean, you see the point. Like, if this is allowed to continue, then if the British and particularly the English people are not allowed to assert their own sovereignty over England, then this is just going to ramp up. It's just going to continue ramping up. And the police can play petty tyrants all they want. But all it's going to do is become a ledger of grievances, a ledger of counts that will be proven and proven and proven. And then when the hateful Saxon has finally had enough, well, you're going to see things go very, very badly. And the reason that I say all of this is because I would prefer it if it didn't get to this stage, right? I would prefer it if the politicians were like, actually, I think we're meant to be doing what the voters tell us we're supposed to do. Actually, I think that's what actually representative politics is meant to be. You ask for a thing, you vote for us to do it, and then we don't backstab you. We get that thing done. It's not that much to ask.
This is the point at which they need to nip it in the bud.
They better bloody do.
Well, yeah. But, oh, wow. They should have done it a long time ago, quite frankly. Yeah. But, I mean, if this isn't a wake-up call, jeez.
Yeah. If 20% of the country are like, yeah, well, revolution it is then. I mean,
that's
way more than you need to actually accomplish a revolution.
Yeah.
Like, something like 3 or 4% of the population is actually only necessary for a revolution to occur. Yeah. If 20% are like, well, I guess it's ready, then anyway, let's leave that there. Sorry, Nate has a great channel called Mr. H Reviews about movies and other channel about car restorations called Car Nonsense on YouTube. Yeah, I've been enjoying your Alien Earth reviews, actually. Via your outside, looking at the women. Be a good boog and get back in the pod. Maybe it's time to team with the leftists, defund the police. No. The police, No, right. The great thing about this is that as people, the police's job will just become increasingly less possible, because the reason that the police us and not them is because they already know those people don't have consent to be policed, right? They don't give the police consent, and so all we have to do is just be like, no, I'm just not cooperating. I'm just going to make your, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to make your job really, really difficult by just telling you to F yourself, and then I'm just going to just do whatever I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to do it. And that just makes it so they can't do what they're supposed to do.
Mm.
And so the whole system grinds to a halt. Akril says, just gloating, I have all four issues of Island and the metal shirt. I need another metal shirt, please. Shout out to the metal fans.
Yes, we do need more metal shirts.
They are good.
Also, if you're into metal, I did just release a song on Chris Gard's channel called Worship of Man, Harry Robinson and Chris Gard, Worship of Man. It's been getting very positive responses so far.
Great.
Check it out.
The person I feel sorry for is Nanny. He got sold dodgy copper from some dodgy merchant in the city of Ur. His name is Ian Nasir. Don't buy copper off him. Well, this is, as per my previous tablet, is this local council or UK government? If it's local council, then the next elections could be a proper English person running against these people. Well, the thing is, it's no one area. Like, these are coming from all over the country. And you can see that it's all levels of authority as well. So right down to the councillors and the police, up to the central government, people are just unbelievable. They find it unbelievable. I just found some British car that seems stolen. What do? Well, I would say contact the authorities. I don't know how far that'll go.
How do I move this? I'm stuck on
The mouse should work.
Oh.
There you go.
All right. Okay. Is it time for me? Is it my segment?
Yes, it's your go.
All right, so... Oh, it's moved again.
Your mouse is on the screen.
How do I move it down here?
So left, all the way left gets onto that screen. All the way right gets onto this screen.
Someone else is moving it.
Samson, you're not playing silly boogers, are you?
Right, okay, cool. So, culture and economies. That's a topic.
Yep.
Bit of a black pill, but also not. Because it's going to end
just
on
your last segment, damn
it. I know, it was brilliant, wasn't it? I know, I do apologise. But it's going to end on something optimistic, basically. So, mass migration, both legal and illegal, leads to economic collapse, right? We know that. You know, we usually discuss economic decline in, say, housing, you know, million migrants.
Sort of macroeconomic terms.
Yeah, you know, yeah, we talk about the wide economic collapse in many, many levels. Like housing, for instance, you know, a million immigrants come. That's the size of Birmingham.
Yeah.
We've not built Birmingham.
No.
We don't want to build more Birminghams.
Yep. FYI, we don't want Mega City 1 in the UK.
Specifically more Birminghams, actually.
Jesus, yes, please no. but obviously...
paste it.
Yeah,
but obviously that's going to lead to... increased rent prices, increased housing prices.
Increased demand.
Absolutely. You know, we discuss and philosophize the welfare state. Mm-hmm. Mentioned it in your segment. You know, Birmingham, for instance, overwhelmingly not exactly economically active.
No.
Who pays for that? Obviously, it's, you know, white British. That's just a given. You know, that erodes, obviously, everyone's taxes. Lots of economic elements with respect to that, with the third world detritus that just keeps turning up on the shores. It's an issue, obviously. So I wanted to take this black pill in a different direction, right? I wanted to discuss how, and it will end on a good note, guys.
New and creative ways of blackpilling people.
It will end on a good note.
Right.
It stemmed actually from very nice origins. But I want to talk about how immigration leads to cultural economic collapse. So very, very specific cultural economic collapse. So culture, after all, creates economies. The structure of a society is the function of its economy. The function of its economy is the structure of its society. Right? They're sort of interwoven. They are cyclically linked. So we're going to kind of go through a few of these. Pubs, right? Pubs are, you know, symbols of, I guess, the working class, but not. They're the town watering hole.
It's not just the working class, yeah. It's, you know, pretty much anywhere in Britain.
Yeah. Really. They are quintessentially British, right? And I've only pulled a few examples of quintessentially English or British sort of economic things. So a pub is one of them. We had, 1,100 pubs closed in the UK since October 2024. which is crazy, right? So that is a direct result. It's multifaceted, right?
Is this factoring in the ones that will have opened as well? So is it like a net result?
I believe so. Yeah, if I remember
because
rightly,
from the stats that I've looked at, there are more closing than opening anyway. Yeah. So it tends to even out to closing. I imagine a lot of it will be cities. Cities where there are enclaves of people who don't have pubs where they come from.
I've been making this point for ages. Because Swindon's a great example of that, actually. Because if you go to the old town basically, like I met my wife.
There are rows of pubs there.
Still. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But these pubs have been there for years, decades, right? It's basically the same as when I met my wife there. Whereas Swindon High Street, Swindon Town Centre, total decay, total collapse of the traditional sort of, you know, English shopping experience, just because the foot traffic isn't there because the people just aren't going through there.
Yeah. Because who are the people?
Exactly.
Well, they're not allowed to drink.
Exactly.
Well, some of them, but it's also just not in their culture.
Yeah. Exactly. And so that you're sort of like superseding my
sorry.
But you illustrate it perfectly is that where there is a high demographic displacement of the English, the British, the quintessentially British,
micro economies.
I don't even know how I'd call it really, but they are gone.
Yeah, no,
they are gone,
and it's totally reasonable as well.
Yeah,
peoples have different spending patterns. Mm. If people don't go into the local English-run stores, then they don't spend their money there, and therefore these things can't prosper.
No, not at all. So that's one of them. That's obviously not good. You know, 1,100 pubs, not good. I would still argue that. Yeah, it's probably going to be in the cities.
Combine that with the tens of thousands that closed because of COVID.
Yeah, so I didn't want to put that in because I didn't want to go proper black.
But I mean, that's really bad.
Yeah, I mean, there is a little bit of that in here because this, I like this article quite a lot just because it was, again, from a black pill into something positive, is a comeback on for the British pub. You know, many thought it was last orders for the British pub, wave after wave of setbacks, etc. But you can see here, as we scroll down, so they talk about pubs adapting, etc. But this was interesting as well. So the market share. So this is what I talk about, you know, with cultural economies. So the market, which was worth £23 billion before the pandemic, that's mad. That is absolutely mad. And that's what, you know, Blairism and WEF globalist nonsense is eroding away. Like, why would you erode that away? Why would you do that? £23 billion. Yeah. And it'd be worth even more now if this situation hadn't ramped up. We hadn't imported loads of foreigners that don't ingratiate themselves into the culture. That's just crazy. That's a staggering figure to me.
I've got a bit of a story on this as well. So I went to visit some relatives in Bristol who are progressive. And, you know, we were like, okay, well, we'll go out. Where do we go? Well, we go to a local pub that's near them. And this pub, like the area of Bristol they live in, very diverse. All of their neighbours, very diverse.
Bristol in general, mate.
Step into this pub, it's an English ethnostate.
Yeah.
Every person in this pub was white. And I was just like, we're not gonna talk about this then, right? Because you guys are very progressive. You don't want to talk about this. And, you know.
Can't say that.
This is very, very...
Everybody knows.
You just unconsciously, in a kind of, you know, green Lib Dem voting way, happen to congregate into the area where it's all white people. Like, it's just you didn't think about it. You just was like, oh no, we're going to go to the pub because that's what the universal humans do.
Yeah. you can't.
Not naming names.
Or maybe the English take England with them wherever they go without meaning to, without intending to.
Exactly.
And maybe that says something about the people coming here as well. Maybe they're bringing where they come from with them as well.
But this is good, right? So now the industry turnover. It's forecast to hit 2% growth next year. So this is good, right? This is what this
well
is
above
what I like
GDP.
Yeah. Still below inflation.
Almost 10 times GDP growth, actually.
Yeah. Good point, yeah.
So average weekly sales revenue, 15% higher than pre-pandemic levels. So we're blackpilling, but then we're going good. We're blackpilling, good. So this is good. This is really, really decent. No longer a cliff edge, right? Number of pubs since 2015 forecast. I mean, look at this. And that's mental.
Yeah, that's mad.
That is insane, right?
But what I love about this is it imparts into us a moral duty to go to the pub.
Yes.
You do have a moral duty.
Absolutely, you do.
Every weekend, I make sure I'm at the local.
I unfortunately don't have a local because I live on a bloody new estate. No local.
That's true.
But interestingly, and this is Sky News, how they phrase it here. Who survived? Taking it back to what a pub used to be.
What, a place where you get drunk?
Well, it's just that underlying thing of what a pub used to be. We get a lot of people coming glad that we don't do food and they're glad that we haven't got a rock band playing in the. Sorry, Harry.
I am actually glad about that, though. Nothing against pub.
Periodically, I don't mind.
When I go to the pub,
I'm
though,
playing a rock band in a pub at the end of the month, damn it.
But the thing is, when I go to a pub, I want to talk with my mates.
To be fair, this is a specific event.
Well, yeah, okay. That's different.
That goes a step further. It's exactly the next point. They're not forced to sit with a large group watching football, all screaming and cheering.
Yeah.
Basically, they can sit around and talk.
It's social.
It's the local watering hole. It's the town hall.
Yeah.
And so, obviously that's one thing, right? That has been suffered greatly, which is obviously not good. And then I want to talk about the... bloody stupid mouse. I'll get there eventually, guys. I need two. One here, one there. I want to talk about farm shops.
Yep.
I've only spot checked a few bits and pieces of what I would consider British. Farm shops, right? Farm shops are... They face a very similar issue to pubs. And obviously demographics. This is a local one.
Yep.
Have you ever been there?
I'll be honest. My wife does the shopping.
Okay. You need to go there. It's great.
I'm sure it's really good.
Is this an ethno state in the farm shop?
But yes.
Every farm shop is.
Yes.
Exactly.
I probably have gone there. That's the thing.
It's lovely. It's really nice. They do really good food. Scroll through. I think they've got some pictures here as well. Look at that. How lovely is that?
Definitely, the check come through now?
No, I definitely have been there. I recognise the delicatessen.
Right, you've got hampers, butchers, delicatessen.
They're paying him off with steaks, I can
Yeah, tell. Well, I hope so.
I could be paid off with steaks.
So could I.
But the farm shop is a very English thing. It's a very British thing. It's where you can source all your local food and support your local farms. Yep. Because, of course, you're not going to get that. You know, we've had Tesco, Asda, all these big shops, which work in a city, fine in a city, whatever. But if you want to go and shop local, you have to go to a farm shop.
And when you go to the farm shop, the goods aren't all behind lock and key.
Mm. Yeah, well, exactly. Because
people are going to steal them.
Because the only people that go there are effectively white. And of a certain demographic. But I wanted to highlight this as well. So obviously they've suffered because... the governments want to completely destroy farmers just generally. I don't know why, because they're insane. Absolutely
net zero,
insane.
Bro.
Yeah, net zero whilst giving money to foreign farmers.
We're going to get the third world to do our farming and we're just going to live like kings over them or something.
Hey, this will tie into next segment. We're going to have lab-grown meat to look forward to.
Yeah. So, obviously this, you know, these are all very, very English things.
Yes.
And we could go on, you know, there's talk about fish and chip shops and the price of fish and chip shops. And essentially, the point I'm trying to get to in all of this is... Oh, actually, we've got to get to this as well. Can we play this? We can play it on mute.
Yeah, it's already muted. Go on, Samson.
Because I want to highlight this. And this is... This guy's actually really good. This is not like a shout-out to this guy. But he goes around to local towns. He travels up and down the country. And this is just, it's disgusting. This is what the high street looks like.
There's way too many towns like...
It's every high street.
Yeah, this could be Swindon. Like, it could literally be Swindon.
Oh, look at that, right next to one another. Barbershop, foreign food. Oh, it's an Istanbul grill.
Another barber.
Istanbul.
Yeah, and then a phone shop.
You're completely right. Like, this is the thing. And the thing is, compared to this, Swindon actually looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, Swindon actually has weathered this storm better than most. It's only sort of the bottom half of town in that's properly dilapidated like this. If you actually get to the main sort of crossroads, it's still all quite bustling, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Swindon's done better than most, actually. But this is unacceptable, isn't it?
It's just sad. And the thing is, it does sound a bit boomery, and I accept that. Back in my day, right, when I grew up...
Mr. H. Barbers.
There you go.
What are the odds?
I actually didn't see that, to be fair. That's hilarious. But when I grew up, this was not what the high street looked like. And it wasn't when you grew up either.
I remember going into town used to be an exciting thing.
It used to be fun. You could spend the whole day there.
Exactly. Yeah. It wasn't dangerous.
The whole day.
And there was stuff to do.
Yeah.
You know,
this is a travesty.
Yeah.
And the thing is economies are cultural.
Yes.
Right. We've imported a bunch of third world detritus, and with it, we've imported their economic, their sort of micro economies.
Yes.
So that's why you end up.
Yeah, their work ethic. But But that's why they all...
But you're right, the economies that they support. So you see the Polish shops, you see the like Bangladeshi luggage shops,
yeah,
stuff like this. And then God only knows how much they send home on remittances, right?
Yeah.
It's not money being spent in our country.
No, not at all. Not at all. And the thing is, we have a duty. So this is where we end up on optimism, yep, positivity. We have a duty to look at our economy from an enclave perspective, right? From a cultural enclave perspective. We should be going out, completely rejecting Deliveroo, rejecting Uber Eats, rejecting the local Indian, all of these things, right? You've got the recipe, learn to cook, right? 9 times out of 10, you'll make it significantly nicer. You'll know what's in it, right? Because the food hygiene standards are atrocious. Yeah. Exactly, right? Like, this is the thing. Yeah. We have a duty to act like an enclave and effectively boycott all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're funding your own erosion.
Yeah.
And it's wrong. And this all comes from a really good place, right? It comes from me having conversations online, looking at things like, you know, going out and picking blackberries. It's an English pastime. It's a great English pastime. Driving through the countryside, like, that's England to me. The Shires, that's England.
Encountering an honesty box.
Oh, yeah.
Where I live, there is a cake stand in someone's front garden. A cake stand in someone's front garden where they obviously bake cakes. They put it in this cupboard, right? But it's nicely painted,
yeah,
whatever a name cake stand is. Yeah. You put money, you can take your cakes. That is the culture that we should be supporting.
Oh, yeah.
That,
oh, yeah,
is the economy that we should be supporting. You know,
last year I went for a walk around my area, and outside one of the houses, a couple of little girls were just standing outside with a table covered in old little baby toys, little girl, yep, baby toys, and just saying, you can take what you want. So I, of course, picked some stuff up for my daughter, but couldn't do that in Birmingham.
No.
When my daughter's older, if she went, Dad, can I stand out? If I was in Birmingham, she went, Dad, can I stand outside the house with a load of stuff and give it away for free? I'd be like, no.
Hell no.
No.
Hell no. And the thing is, you know, the cities are gone for now. They're gone for now. Yeah. When we win, we'll get them back. But you need to protect everything you can as it stands that's still there. The last sort of vestiges of England or Scotland or Wales, whatever. Specifically England, because I care about it the most. I'm English. You know, I went down to Marlborough, is a location in Wiltshire. Went down to the local pub there. Mm. It was heaving.
Mm.
And it's so nice to see. So, yeah, a little bit of a black pill that things have gone, things have closed. But they're going to be very much centralised. They're going to be certain locations. We can still salvage, you know, our economy. We can look at it from an enclave perspective.
No, no, you're completely on the ball. Because last year, around Christmas time, I can't remember, it's a church now, but it's the old railway village.
Mm.
They had this sort of, like, you know, the whole thing in multi-stories was taken up by some, you know, some arts and crafts fair thing where people with their stalls were selling whatever goods they had, right?
Mm.
And my wife was like, oh, can we go down? I was like, yeah, okay, why not? So we're walking around with the kids. And I just happened to notice, it was packed, absolutely packed. You know, literally, like, every floor is, you know, you've got to shuffle around people because there's so many people there. Almost all English.
Yeah.
You know, and the people who weren't English were obviously married to someone who was English.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was just like, right, so this is our native economy
exactly. That
is existing independent of, you know, the mainstream high street, you know.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is still here. It's just gone underground. These people should all have shops. And they did all have shops. And like the Brunel and stuff like that. Like the Crystal Shop and stuff like that. You know, they all used to be in the Brunel, but they're just not now because the foot traffic isn't there. So where do they go? Well, there's a big, like, little fate thing, you know, with food trucks outside and stuff like that. And that's where, but everyone went there. And so it's like, so it does still exist. 100% does.
I mean, to put a positive spin on this ghost town, obviously there's a lot of empty shop fronts there, but... in a more positive future, to think positively for a second, each of those in time in the future could themselves become a new shop opened by someone with an entrepreneurial spirit. We were talking before this started how the English are still entrepreneurial. You still want your little slice of business for yourself where you can open a little shop. I want to sell flowers. I want to sell this. I'd open a guitar shop or a pub or something.
Yeah,
But there will be opportunity to do that if things improve in the future.
Exactly. And so this is why it's our duty as the as Englishmen, right, to protect what is there now, right? Go round to your local steam fairs where they house all, you know, they offer stands for all of these people. Fund them. You know, there's loads of little intricacies and sort of idiosyncrasies that the English have in each town, each village that's there. You'll know it when in your local area. Yeah. Support it, because it will be gone if you don't. And it's super important to support it, because every time you order from, say, an Indian takeaway and some Deliveroo guy that gets it, which the potential chance of them being an illegal immigrant just turned up is incredibly high. You are supporting your destruction.
Yeah.
And we owe it to ourselves to support English. Work from an enclave perspective. Why not?
I had this exact perspective when I went to that Christmas market. Because I didn't need anything. But I just noticed, all right, this is the local native economy.
Yeah.
And so I must spend about 200 quid. I didn't intend to spend 200 quid. But I genuinely was thinking about it. It's like, this is going to be really valuable to these people, right? You know, if I spend like 10, 15 quid on, like, you know, some muffins or whatever it was, you know, it was just silly, trivial things.
Nice stuff as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, they were nice, you know, but it was like, you know, I bought some special honey from one of them as well. It was like a flavored honey. It was really good. It was one of those things that I don't need this, but actually I think I'm really going to be helping them out. If I just spend 20 quid on their stall, you know, it's just, you know, and I got a nice thing out of it. So,
So that's it. Bit of a black pill.
I don't know.
That was less of a black pill than I was expecting.
Black pill, right? But
I mean, in my local town, like I mentioned right before, there have been pubs opening. Can you believe that, folks? Like, actually pubs opening, which is not the sort of thing that you hear about.
It's so good to see.
It does happen. And again, with something like this, I see potential for, like, just a bunch of English people. Maybe they've got a little bit of money saved up. Like, you all pool it together. Like, if there was organized action, you could basically buy a whole high street.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of thinking that because, you know, I would love to open some shops. And the problem is Swindon High Street isn't actually as free as you think. You know, you'd have to go a bit far off the beaten track. But like a high street like that, you get three or four business owners together and be like, look, we could, you know, invest in this, open a bunch of shops, you know, each one does a different thing. Like, you can make something quite nice out of it.
We never had to think like this before.
No.
But because this is the situation that's been forced upon us, you have to change your mindset and start thinking like this. Think tribally, because it's super important, because otherwise it'll all be gone.
Sergeant Slaughter says, just throwing it out there, gents, only about a third of the colonists actually wanted to revolt. good point. In the UK, it's not Megacity One, it's Britsit. In Ireland, it's Murphyville. Oh,
that is true. That is true.
Harry, how did you play that absolute banger of a song with not headbang at all? Are you an Ent?
No, it's really difficult to play. And so I was just... I was entirely focused on playing it right. That's why I didn't headbang.
Yeah, Sigil Stone says, yeah, use the enclave perspective. I think that's completely true. You've got to think like it.
I think he's meaning Fallout 3.
Enclave, right.
Bad economy, deploy FEV. Oh, yeah. Crime, deploy FEV. Politicians, deploy FEV. There you go. There's the one-size-fits-all solution. May I have a mouse, please?
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, I've got both. I can dual-wield them like you wanted to.
Do it. I dare you.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, it's only one mouse cursor.
Yeah, so, let's see. Yes, I'm feeling I'm going to have to move in unison. No, I'm not going to do that. That would be ever so silly, folks. And if there's one thing we hate at the Lotus Eaters, it's being silly. Anyway, so this is a little bit off of the normal subjects that we talk about. However, it is somewhat related, as fitness is something that's quite important on the right. Fitness for a few years now at this point has been heavily equated with the right wing and associated with white supremacy of all things. Remember, there was that article in Time magazine a few years ago that was talking about the history of weightlifting and white supremacy and how the two just go hand in hand together. And in the modern world, I do think it's important that young men especially try to keep fit. Sedentary lifestyles these days make it, and calorie-dense food being available at very cheap prices, make it really easy to get fat. Especially when during lockdowns, for instance, you weren't allowed to go to the gym, you weren't barely allowed to go outside. All you had to offer was a lot of food in the cupboard and playing video games all day. So a lot of people got fat. So fitness has been something that is very important for a lot of people. I try to keep fit. Obviously, Nate's in good shape. Even Carl has started to go to the gym recently. But one of the problems for young men especially, and young people who are brand new to it, is you think to yourself, okay, I want to start trying to get into shape. Where do I start? Well, online, there is a whole host of YouTube channels and other resources that offer all sorts of advice, but one of the most popular ones is the YouTube science-based lifting crowd, who typically are the ones who get the most views. And some of the advice that they can give can be very, very good. Some of the advice can be trendy and based on scientific papers that aren't as strong as they say that they are, or that they've just completely misread and misinterpreted, which can lead people down these dead-end alleyways that go nowhere and people just go back to what they were doing before. But one of the most pernicious problems is the problem of body image expectations being set wrong for most people. Most people who haven't been to the gym and certainly haven't lifted for a while don't know what to expect when they first go to the gym. It's why I always find it funny when I speak to somebody, say, I don't want to lift weights, I don't want to get too bulky. You've heard that one, as if just becoming an absolute beast of a man, a monster, is something that you can achieve within 6 months doing a little bit of dumbbell work here and there. It takes a lot to try and do that. But people's expectations have been set completely wrong by a lot of people who are on steroids on the internet, who tell you that they're not, and present themselves as having this insane physique transformation. In 3 years, I managed to put on 60 pounds of pure muscle without putting on a single fat cell.
Oh, I was going to say, I managed to put on 60 pounds.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that helps. I mean,
that's a lot easier than it seems, to be honest. I too have engaged in the permabulk. All right. It's cutting it away that's very difficult and very disappointing when you're at the end of it, to be honest, and your bench press numbers have flattened. Anyway, so they say, oh, I've made this amazing transformation, completely natural in 3 years, or in the case of one of the people I'm going to look at, in 18 years. And one of the regulating mechanisms for this is that there should be a lot of people calling them out, because clearly they've made a transformation that, unless they are legitimately 0.00001% remarkable genetics, the kind of genetics that mean you have some kind of physical deficiency that will debilitate you, that accidentally means also you get to put on a lot of muscle. A lot of people should call them out for obviously being on steroids. But what happens when one of, if not the biggest, natural science-based fitness YouTuber decides to defend them and try to claim that they are natural? Well, we'll find out. First, though, take a look at this. Islander, if you want to be sound of body and mind, it's well worth giving the articles in this, written by people including, but not limited to, our very own Carl Benjamin and the academic agent himself, Nima Parvini. I believe he's in there. Is he not in here?
Not this one.
No, not this time.
Morgoth.
We didn't get him this time.
Ed Dutton and a bunch of others.
Yes, we've got Morgoth, Dave Green, Ed Dutton. Some very worthwhile writers in there. You can pick this up on the Lotus Eaters website for $14.99. Get it while stocks still last. These will be collectible one day because we only do one print run per volume. So please pick that up. It's well worth your time. So let me introduce you to a few people. This is, first of all, this is a YouTuber. He's quite new. He's just started recently, called Anabolic Stick. I've been enjoying his videos. He's been doing a very, very good job calling out these people who are called fake natties, which are, they are people who are clearly on steroids, but say that they're
not.
How
do you tell if someone's on steroids?
Well, there's a number of different things to tell, but one of the best ways to tell, because it's impossible to know for 100% certainty.
Right.
But one of the easiest ways to tell is to look at the body transformation that they have made, where they started, where they've ended up, and how quickly they managed to make that change.
He's doing better than me, steroids. So,
yes, if he's bigger than me, he's on steroids. If he's smaller than me, he's a pussy and he doesn't know how to work out. Yep. These are just the rules.
Got it.
But so if I skip ahead in this video, this is a man, a boy, I should say, because he's 18 years old, called Julian Fitzgerald. Okay?
Jesus.
Here he is on the right. You can tell that he is very young because he has literal baby face.
Yeah.
Photoshopped onto the body of a 35-year-old steroid abuser. And he stood next to this man, Larry Wheels, who is not only a powerlifter strong man who's, you know, he deadlifted something like almost 1,000 pounds for 3 reps. Insanely strong guy. He's also recently got his pro card in enhanced bodybuilding. So he is on lots and lots and lots and lots of steroids, is open about that, and is a professional bodybuilder who's won competitions, right? And he's stood next to this 18-year-old kid whose arms are as big, or they maybe like almost as big as his, 19-inch arms, who claims that he is completely natural and has made this transformation in 3 years since he began lifting. In the video where Larry Wheels and him train together, you can see the kind of training that they do, and a lot of people like to make the excuse of, well, there is a potential, if you have ridiculous genetics, that if you train perfectly and really hard, you would be able to make that transformation. It would be rare, once-in-a-lifetime sort of thing to see, which is why it's very unusual that you see it all over the internet. But it could be possible if they train right. Well, this kid, how does he train? This is one of the other ways to tell. So he goes to do dumbbell shoulder press. Mm-hmm. Doesn't do a warm-up set. Immediately picks up 90-pound dumbbells, which I think would be close to 45-kilogram dumbbells.
Yeah.
Pretty heavy. And does this. I'll play this while I'm talking. So he sits up. Now, for reference, if you want to build muscle, typically accepted hypertrophy ranges tend to be like 6 to 15 reps. If you go underneath like the 3 to 5 rep range, you're just training for strength, which can put on muscle, but he does one rep, another one rep on the other arm. He's already struggling on that first rep. Yeah. Barely getting it up. Trying again. Larry Wheels is just staring at him, looking very unimpressed. And then, third rep, can't do it. And he tries with the other arm. Same problem. So if this is how this guy trains, this is not going to get you huge in 3 years. It's going to get you injured. It's what's called ego lifting. And again, unless you are really just like a genetic beast, once in a lifetime kind of phenomenon, you are going to have to train a lot better than this. And all of the rest of his lifts are very similar. Not only has he only been training for 3 years, he doesn't really seem to know how to structure workouts.
He's also been skipping leg day. Look at those calves.
Well, that's the other thing as well. People are saying, well, he's just got absurd genetics. They've been skipping his legs.
Yeah, why? Yeah.
Some have claimed that he's got a myostatin deficiency, which has never been substantiated or proven by anyone. That he's never claimed it. And myostatin deficiency basically gets rid of some kind of, I think it's some protein or molecule in your body that prevents your body from putting on more muscle than it should physically be capable of.
With respect to the calves, I will say this. That's pretty much genetically across the board of fat people. Yeah,
that is
really
pretty much all of them get calves.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, genuinely. Yeah. I've competed as a bodybuilder, for those that don't know.
Yep.
That's pretty normal.
So I got my incredible calves from my English side.
You know, genuinely.
Right.
It's just a thing. You just have shit calf genetics.
That is true, that like generally speaking, you can train your calves as much as you want.
Yeah.
Nine people out of 10 people are going to have shit calves.
I don't know.
Because it is entirely genetic. Do you know who are gifted genetically with calves and legs in general? Asians.
I was going to say, is it the Welsh?
No.
I feel like my calves are from my Welsh side.
Asians, Welsh. I don't say this.
Why don't you tell me, man?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. You just have dad calves.
I know, but they're incredible.
It's really weird. Is there some kind of study done about why dads have such enormous calves? Because it does seem to be ubiquitous.
No. I tell you what it is.
Cargo short dads and their calves.
When I was like, 15, 16, I was quite fat. But I was also really active. So I used to rollerblade, ride bikes, you know, you know, climb mountains and whatever. You know, do you know. So basically your legs...
Fat guy calves.
Yeah, exactly. I've got fat guy calves. But they are...
That is a thing as well.
But they are absolutely incredible. True. So, you know.
That is a thing. But yeah, no, so black people just generally do have crack calves. Yeah, it's a given.
I didn't know that.
It has been noted. They've got all sorts of... There are all sorts of physiological differences between the races in terms of like the muscle insertion.
Don't say that.
Obviously, it stops at the neck. Nothing else went
from
on.
From a bodybuilding perspective.
It stops at the neck, but on terms of the physiological differences, it's why white Northwest Europeans tend to be able to be stronger and win loads of strongman competitions, especially the Icelandic.
Yep.
And why Asians tend to have such ridiculously massive legs when they train just a little bit. Here's another one who's a very controversial folk. This one on the right, although this guy on the left is also relevant. Guy on the left is Greg Doucette.
Did he sell steroids as well?
Yes, he sold steroids. What was a fake natty back in the day, claimed that the first 10 years of his bodybuilding career was completely natural, but then got caught trying to compete in a natural bodybuilding competition while on steroids, and then claimed from that point, I'd only just gone on steroids one competition and managed to get caught. Yeah, sure, that makes sense. Or you just got lazy. He also sells all sorts of supplements like turkesterone. And this guy on the right is called Hussein Farhat. Now, he's, 22 years old, I think? He started training when he was 19 and made an absurd transformation. Let me see. Here's the transformation, okay? Right?
That's pretty impressive.
Now, that's a transformation that people keep saying he made in 3 years, which would be ridiculous enough by itself if this was completely natural, especially because, you know, like the people say, well, he just had elite bodybuilding genetics. Before does not look like elite bodybuilding genetics, okay? He actually made this transformation in 19 months.
So you're telling me I need to start taking steroids?
Well, I mean, that's the message that a lot of people get from this. That's the point I'm making here. Because he made this transformation in 19 months, where of that, I think 17 months were spent working out in his garage with a ladder and a broom, doing pull-ups on a ladder. He didn't have proper bodybuilding equipment. So, you know, those are some pretty elite genetics to be able to make that kind of transformation. And, of course, people fall for it, especially when Greg Doucette, who is another huge fitness bodybuilding guy, comes out defending him, saying that, I took one look at his blood work, one blood panel that he sent me via email, and he didn't hit any of the markers for testosterone, so therefore... He must be natural.
This is a great example, isn't it? Because like the 7-year transformation looks plausible.
But he was also on steroids.
Was he?
Yeah, he was also
Jeff's side, isn't it?
One of them. Jeff. Because I mean,
on the left, I would have totally believed that this was a dude in a gym for 7 years. He's not ridiculously big, and he wasn't small framed to begin with, so you could believe it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, I think 3-year transformation is misrepresenting because it's more of a 19-month transformation. Greg Doucette and a few other people come out defending him, but Doucette is kind of known as a bit of a huckster.
Right.
He has all of these supplements that he's constantly trying to sell, so people don't trust him as much. But then this guy, Jeff Nippard, seven and a half million subscribers, natural bodybuilder, science-based, one of the most popular and most trusted guys, comes out and does this video, How to Look Enhanced Without Steroids, where he goes to bat for both of these guys, saying, no, I think they're natural. How do I know? Well, I did a surprise blood test on them while I was hanging out with them, and they both came up looking natural to me. And also, I did a workout with both of them, and they seemed like they really worked hard for it. So, makes perfect sense to me. Everybody absolutely torched him for this, because the logic behind it took into account none of what I have discussed, which is primarily the fact that their transformations are unrealistic given their age and the amount of time that they have taken to make those transformations. Again, these kinds of transformations, I mean, those are ridiculous arms. Those are ridiculous arms, even for somebody who'd been training for like 20 years. That is genetically gifted arms. But Jeff has been training for like almost 20 years, natural, his entire adult life, and is getting mogged by these two like 20-year-olds and saying, no, completely natural, guys. I've just been completely destroyed by these two guys who managed to do it in a tenth of the amount of time that it took me to get as big as I am. So it makes him come across a little bit either naive or untrustworthy if he's lying on behalf of these guys. Because one of the problems is, these guys, they come out, they say, I'm natural, never touched a steroid in my life. What that Julian guy, the black guy, one of the things that he says to say that he's not on steroids in this video is, oh no, bro, I'm scared of needles. Which is the easiest excuse.
Is there no other way of ingesting steroids?
There are plenty of other ways.
Of course there are.
Of course there are plenty of ways. But one of the things that these people do, they come out and they say, I'm natural, never touched a steroid in my life, and I managed to get these amazing results in this really short amount of time. Buy my programs. Look at my YouTube channel. Buy my supplements, and you can get the same results as me. And not only are they setting up unrealistic expectations, they're profiting off of it. And then after profiting off of it, the young men who don't know any better because they've never stepped into a gym before, they're 3 years down the line and they've made, you know, they've made good progress, but they've made normal progress. They've maybe been able to put on, like Hussein managed to put on 60 pounds of muscle in about 19 months without putting any fat on. If anything, it looks like he got leaner. He lost fat while putting on that much muscle, okay? But these guys, the natural guys, they'll try it, they'll get a bit fatter, and they'll maybe put on 20 pounds of muscle, if that.
It sounds like a lot to me.
Yeah, which still sounds like a lot, but if they're training perfectly, which if they're following these guys' routines, they won't be, and they'll get these comparatively really disappointing results. At which point they go, well, I guess they're just so much better than me. If I ever want to look like that, I guess I might have to hop on. And then, you know, 10 years, 5 years down the line, these guys will come out and probably, allegedly, say, oh yeah, I was on steroids the whole time. I was misleading you. They won't even apologize for it most of the time. Look at the Liver King. The Liver King, that was an embarrassing situation with that. Although,
what happened with the Liver King? I don't follow this area.
What hasn't happened with the Liver King?
Yeah, I think didn't he get arrested for trying to assault Joe Rogan recently?
Oh yes.
Yeah,
he was fascinating.
He was obviously on steroids.
Right.
But his claim was that he got the physique from following the ancestral tenets.
Oh yeah.
Which included things like eating raw meat.
The most disgusting
thing. Yep. And what was he? Awful. Was he taking baths in like dirty water or something?
I don't know. Just
makes sense.
I know he ate
crocodile immune system.
Wasn't he eating bull testicles? Like raw bull testicles.
Testicles. He was eating fertilized eggs with little.
And he was selling. He was selling
absolutely atrocious.
It turned out he was on steroids.
Awful. Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
What a surprise, yeah. Right? But nobody, everybody expected that.
God.
And I expect that these guys will get outed as well. But there are people who don't know, who haven't been going to the gym as long as I or other people have, who will expect these results because that's what they've been sold online. When they don't get these results, they'll maybe think, well, the only way I can get that is on steroids. And they might be tempted as a result to jump on. It also left a lot of people questioning Jeff's natural credentials as well, because he's been claiming his entire career that he's never touched steroids. But now he's going to bat for these guys, and a guy that I follow called Revival Fitness showed an old video of Jeff's from like 7 years ago where he explained his story of when he was 19 years old, how he was just about to take steroids. He was about to do his first big bodybuilding competition and had decided, I'm going to take steroids, my coach is all for it, we're going to go for it. And then they just happened to not show up in the post after he ordered them. This is the same story you get from a lot of these people. I had them in my hand, I decided not to do it, I flushed them down the toilet. I ordered them online and they just didn't show up in the post. Okay, all right. And then he says, it's at that point that I discovered natural bodybuilding.
What?
Even though his mum is a natural bodybuilder.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so the,
I've never heard this story. That's so absurd.
His story makes no sense whatsoever. So your mum, you grew up around this, but you'd never heard of this particular type of bodybuilding until you just happened to not receive steroids in the... Okay, all right. That's as far as I'm going to go with that. Of course, he gets dogpiled. People say that he's lost his credibility, that he's ruined his career. Greg Doucette obviously comes out defending him. He titled the video, "Jeff Nippa just lost all credibility." But that's not what the video is about. He's actually defending this and saying, no, no, these guys are completely natural. That's what he sounds like. And then
it's pretty accurate.
He actually does.
Yeah.
And then he comes out with his own video, which was he's changed the name, but it's been, it was originally called Addressing the Controversy, right? Mm. Addressing the Controversy. Now, I watched this, and again, instead of actually addressing what people were annoyed about, the fact that he ignored all of the signs of these guys being on steroids, mainly to do with the terrible technique that they show when training, the fact that they don't really know how to train very well, and the incredible how rapid their transformation was and how young they are, all of these different signs, he decided to obfuscate and shift the discussion onto something called FFMI, Fat Free Mass Index, and try to basically throw out a load of obfuscating arguments of, well, there were these studies done in the 1990s that show that steroid users tend to be able to get an FFMI above this, and these guys that I'm talking about aren't above this, so therefore it's more likely that they're not on steroids, even though he was talking about in the 1950s how there were a load of bodybuilders who, he doesn't explain how he got these figures, surpassed that FFMI in the first place. So his argument is not logical, doesn't make sense, doesn't follow from one to another, and again, people have been very, very critical of him. Why am I going on about all of this? Well, again, this is just one of those things where you can't trust a lot of the people, especially these big channels who are incentivized to go with trends and to try and generate as much controversy as possible. But there's something even more insidious about this. And I would say be careful of the kind of people that you take fitness and nutritional advice from on the internet. Is that Jeff Nippard basically outs himself as willing to lie, potentially, or naively destroy his credibility going to bat for these guys. Well, what was he doing during lockdowns? This guy who's all for health and fitness. Well,
wait, I don't know.
He was promoting the efficacy of lockdowns.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And he was promoting the...
double jabbed, is he?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's quadrupled at this point.
Oh, God, okay.
Okay. So he's not unfamiliar with needles. So he's promoting all of this. He's promoting the current thing. He's all about the science. You need to read this latest paper that says that it's lengthened partials, which are the best thing ever. 6 months of my content are going to be about this. But then, oh no, I've done a study. It turns out they're just the same as normal weightlifting. So do yourself. So my last 6 months of content have been completely useless. Keep following me, though, for more science-based updates.
I love the science so much because tomorrow it will turn out that was wrong as well. And at no point is there any accountability. Oh, the science changed, guys. Is that okay? But that means you were wrong. That's everything you did was bullshit.
It's the kind of trend you get with all of these science-based ones. And you can find like 80 to 90% of the workout advice that he gives on his channel is good. But it's all based on classic principles that most people already knew. And it's that 10 to 20% where it's all based on the trendy science that makes, like, if you go back a few years, the channel will appear schizophrenic because they'll be saying, do this. And then a year later, they'll be saying, do the opposite now. Actually, the science came out. I found this single science paper that says to do the opposite of what I was saying. Blah, blah, blah. But he's all for the current thing. And then all of a sudden, what does he come out in favor of on his Twitter account the other day? Well, somebody says, every post I see in favor of lab-grown meat and lab-made food in general is never made by a healthy-looking person. Here's me flexing. Oh, God, I can't wait to eat the lab-grown meat. Oh, inject the science straight into my veins. Oh, I can't wait to eat it the second it's mass-market ready. It's biologically identical. Biologically identical. It's not...
How does he know that?
I looked into this.
I'd rather take the Liver King's advice over this.
I decided to look into this, and apparently the way that they make lab-grown meat is they take animal cells add a load of amino acids, proteins, and other things that you would find in normal meat, and then apply some kind of, and the articles that I found did not specify what this process was, growth process to it.
Biologically identical, Harry.
To create something. The articles always started off saying biologically identical and ended up saying similar to animal meat.
It's technically organic. I don't know what you're complaining about.
The thing about, I mean, the argument for eating like lab-grown meat, saying it's going to reduce suffering and things like that, it's just such nonsense. That will lead to extinction-level events for these animals, right? They are alive to be our food, right? And that's the same thing with vegans. Vegans, a bunch of bloody idiots, banging on about, save the animals. Then they're all going to die because they exist because we want them to and we want to eat them. It's about just ensuring that they have a good... Another reason why to ban halal and kosher slaughter, quite frankly, it's about giving them the nicest possible life whilst they're here.
Sure.
There's no reason, and they exist, we give them a nice life, and then they're sent on their way in the most humane way possible. This will just lead, it's not suffering, they just won't exist. It's also nonsense.
Really, it's also really weak, because like, okay, yeah, even if you, in through utilitarian calculus, we could make it so that it was biologically identical. Mm. Okay, but what about metaphysically? I'm eating this animal to cement my position spiritually at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
I, human, eat animal. That's how this works. It's a moral argument that I'm making against the vegans. I'm so sick of this. But if we can just get rid of all the paint. No. I'm going to eat this thing.
Mm.
Right? Because I have got two forward-facing eyes and it doesn't. I am the predator. It is the prey. That's how this has got to work.
And culturally as well, like the British, the English, for instance, like stewards of the land.
Absolutely.
You know, the land is so unique in England for a reason.
And we take good care of these things anyway. You know, but even if we didn't, still, we're the predators, they're the prey. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, also, frankly, as well, everybody who I saw arguing in favour of this was treating it as though it was critics' responsibility to prove that lab-grown meat will be harmful. When in fact,
you've got to prove that it's good.
Yeah, you've got to prove to me and everybody else that it isn't harmful and just as nutritionally complete as actual animal meat. If you're going to hand me lab steak, you better be damn sure that it's just as good and just as nutritionally complete and good for me as actual steak.
But even then you're complicit in an industrial system that is literally trying to replace the natural human way of living.
And a system which already works.
The system we've got is great.
It already works.
I think you'll find, Carl, he already came up with a response to that.
Oh, okay, go on.
Which is, that's an appeal to nature, actually.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't give a toss.
Yeah. That's an argumentative fallacy, actually.
Yeah, no, I don't want to be a part of an increasingly artificial industrialized system, and actually I just don't think that's good for us, spiritually. So you can give me any size.
I did also find it ironic that a self-proclaimed natural bodybuilder was angry about people appealing to nature. It's like, well, maybe...
isn't your entire career an appeal to nature?
Yeah, maybe things being natural can be good because nature sets limits. And like the reason that steroids can be bad for people who do them too much is it pushes your body beyond those natural limits and causes your heart to explode. Like, maybe nature set limits on things for a reason.
But it's also, there's a whole line of philosophical thought about the idea that this is literally what Oswald Spengler's talking about in Man and Technics, with the increasing artificiality of our own world leading us to a point where we'll end up, and again, C.S. Lewis makes this point too, we'll end up essentially being products, not actual human beings. We will be engineered products. And so being like, well, that's an appeal to nature. It's like, yeah, I guess in a way it kind of is, because actually I think that man being a self-making product that generates himself without any reference to sort of what C.S. Lewis would call the Tao is actually embarking on a moral endeavor that you haven't thought through, Jeff. You know, I absolutely know you haven't thought about the consequences of this. And so it's like, okay, the first step might not seem like such a great thing, but that's a long road to go down, and it's very difficult to come back from it.
Well, I mean, that's something with all of these science-based guys, is that they do get very eager for anything that is scientific, or means automatically, not necessarily that it's good, but that it can't be bad.
Yeah.
Like one of the other guys, Mike Isretel, he has been falling in love with ChatGPT
recently,
which is kind of weird. And he's also two thumbs up for Ozempic, despite the negative side effects that that can have, which the media likes to ignore. And he's also spoken in interviews about how eager he is for when you don't actually need to go to the gym anymore to be jacked. You can just take a pill that a scientist gives you and it makes you jacked. Those are called steroids.
Yeah.
Those already exist. They're called steroids. You're on them, Mike, and you've spoken about how horrible they made your life.
I'm so glad I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, so that's why I get a sneaking suspicion from all of these recent recent revelations about all these science-based guys that it feels a little psyop-y to me. Anyway, let's go on to the Rumble Rants. I'll read through some of my own. That's a random name. I can confirm the calf thing. My hardest workout is leg day, and yet I got chicken legs.
Flexing on the log.
That can happen.
I'll post a picture of my calves on Twitter.
You might have to increase intensity or maybe volume. I don't know what your workout is. He's probably the guy to ask.
It solves your problems.
Or just be fat, you know? the Habsification. Small calves are genetic. It's to do with calf muscle insertion and the length of Achilles tendons.
That's half right and half cope, yeah. The shape and size of all muscles are based around origin and insertion points. That's just
get fatter.
It dictates muscle belly volume, basically.
Is this your new message for the people?
If you want incredible calves.
Oh, okay. Or walk around with a backpack.
You could just like
whichever's the least delicious for you, I think.
One's less sweaty than the other, but they're probably about the same.
Yeah,
the backpack could be full of sweet treats that you treat yourself with at the end of your long walks. It all evens out. See, Jubs McGee says they went for Goku physique without the hard work. Ditch the drugs, work hard, study well, eat and sleep plenty. That is the turtle hermit way. Yes, very based. And did you see how jacked Master Roshi was? Exactly. That's a random name. These fitness that dude could just like buff up in an instant. It was amazing. These fitness gurus are the male equivalent of the women beauty gurus. Their target audiences are weak, insecure people. I say let natural selection do its thing. Interestingly about Jeff, he's 5'4".
Oh.
So I think no wonder these people are afraid of nature, because natural selection would not have been kind to them in the past. And Sigil Stone says, next Harry should cover the carbon-based lubricant being injected with flavoring and called butter, mad science lab butter in the US came up with. I did mention when arguing with somebody about Bill Gates' shit filter water, and they just said it was a good thing. He's like, yeah, Bill Gates is going to save water resources for everybody. It's like, all right, have fun drinking your shit water, bro.
So gross.
Before we got to the nub of what all of this was about, which is a perfectly legitimate word. You can say nub, Stelios.
Proof positive, it would seem that you can take the man out of Greece, but you can't get the Greek man's mind out of the gutter.
I do love Stelios's gutter humour. It's great.
But that is accurate.
Yeah, it's very true.
Hello, Lucetus. I'm knackered. I've just climbed up Ben Nevis.
Hey,
bloody hell.
See you here.
Legend.
Hopefully not afraid of heights. And I've done it with the iron.
Champion.
I think it's like 1,354 feet. Absolutely something ridiculous.
I think it's 1,800.
Knackered. Now all I have to do is throw this.
You can do it.
Right, so it's 1,345 meters, so it's 4,400 feet. I've climbed Ben
Nevis. Bloody hell. I've not climbed Ben Nevis. It's awesome.
It's tiring. Can we go back to that video? Can we go back to that video?
That's just a nice morning stroll, mate.
We got his calves.
Right, so what I think... seriously.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Like, this is unironically... Because this was back when I was about 30, something like that. Right, so I think... Yeah, right. So there's a walking trail, which is just a standard walking trail. But here is a little stream that comes down it. And you can go up and around, and you climb up here. And then I don't know how far across it goes. Right, okay. So there's a ridge that comes across to the right here, and then you see the rocks he's on. It becomes like really like broken. Mm. So large chunks of rock going up. So he's gone like the back side of it, the rear side of it, which is the difficult route. This is the one I went.
Legend.
Yeah, I remember filling up my bottle at that stream, and it's the clearest water I've ever drank in my life.
It was nice.
Crystal clear. It was really cold as well. Mm. So it was absolutely delicious. But yeah, this is how I got my chunky calves, because I would do, like, you know, climb mountains and stuff when I was like 30 and I was quite big. So it was just like, but you know, I was just like, you know, just because you're fat, there's no reason not to be doing stuff.
Yeah.
And it'll give you incredible legs.
There you go.
Yeah.
Carl coming out in favour of fat and fit.
Fat mountain climbing, you should do it. Why not?
Fat mountain climbing.
You have no excuse.
Mountain climbing.
I'm in favour. Is there another one?
When in Ohio last month, I went kayaking and discovered what continuously be called unused land in the Rocky River, and so I claimed this land, which I named Goslin Scrag, because of the geese, for the crown of the United Kingdom. According to Meta AI, this was remarkably based, and so I've considered doing the same thing for Berta Will, which is unclaimed by either Sudan or Egypt. If we use the land for good reasons, nature reserves or gun ranges, I don't know, no one will challenge us, and that's how we'll rebuild the British Empire. No one will bother to stop our territorial expansion. Anyway, all I need now is a Wikipedia page about this. Anyone know where Lord Miles is?
Yeah, I was actually, why hasn't Lord Miles done this? Get down there with the British flag, actually claim it. Just saying.
Do it.
There you go.
See what happens.
Have we got any more?
That'd be good content.
Oh.
Nothing beats an illegal working holiday. We pick you up in the channel and take you right to your 4-star hotel, where you can work illegally, claim benefits, and never be deported. Watch how the British struggle paying the highest taxes since the 1940s while you pay nothing and even receive benefits. All this and more.
So there's a common rejoinder to this. They'll be like, they can't claim benefits. It's like, yeah, but why would they need to, since we're literally paying for everything and then giving them £400 a month spending money?
And this is why act like an enclave with your purchase power. Yeah. Don't.
My taxes still go to them. But yes, with the purchasing power, with the money that I do control.
Boycott.
Absolutely.
Boycott it completely.
Ghost of Enoch says, you think undercover joggers are bad? Police in Sheffield have started disguising themselves as migrant hotels to catch protesters. Very brass eye. Binary says, the one out of five being open to political violence stat. For context, the IRA had less than 0.05% of the Irish population actively fighting in the Troubles, and only enjoyed support from about 2-5% of the population overall. Well, that's an interesting
stat. I knew
stat.
The Irish weren't all bad.
Garbage Human says, up north, can highly recommend T-Bay Services on the M6 is a farm shop. Beautiful place, and pretty much an ethno-state. And Henry says, can confirm on the bad calves genetics. I was born with club feet. So my Achilles tendons are twice as long as they should be, and my calves are shorter as a result. They're quite pronounced, but stop halfway down my shin.
Oh, wow.
Man, my leg muscles are so muscular. I've got muscles growing over my shins. I'm not even joking. I'll show you after.
What, your tibs?
I don't know.
But nobody has muscular tibs. God, he does.
Yeah, he left tibialis anterior. Yeah.
I literally, and the thing is, I remember.
But nobody trains tib.
Unironically,
okay.
Says you, mate.
The thing is,
tell me you train calves as well. You disgusting.
I even
remember when these muscles started growing on my legs as well, right? Because it was painful. Because we were like doing like hikes and stuff like that, and the front of my leg, I'm like, you haven't got muscles on the front of your leg. What's going on? And now I just have this weird pouch of muscle on top of my calves.
Yeah,
on top of my
your tibialis. Yeah,
I didn't even know there's a muscle there. But anyway, yeah.
The only person I've ever heard of who trains them is Andrew Huberman.
I didn't train it. I needed it to walk.
It just happened.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we're on out of time there.
Yeah. All right, then. So thank you very much for joining us today. Buy your copy of Islander. It'll be well worth it. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Thanks, Nate, for joining us. Where can you be found?
Mr. H Reviews channel, as well as State of Politics with me and Bo. Go check it out. It's great. It's really based.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow. Take care.